Grace and peace in the name of Jesus Christ, the one we worship this blessed day. Amen. I want to talk about the story of Cain and Abel. Let us pray. Lord, your word is sweeter than honey for our mouths, so give us your sweet word of mercy, the sweet word of salvation, that we, like the publican in the gospel, go home justified, righteous, forgiven. Bless us now as we hear, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, dear friends, there's the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's kind of the way the Bible begins. The first few chapters of Genesis. There's the good, the bad, the ugly. The Bible begins good. God creates the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and it's repeated several times, and it was good, and it was good, and it was good. Everything's good, and then at the end, very good. Perfect, peace, harmony, Adam, Eve, animals, creation, God, all was good. That's Genesis 1 and 2. We barely got started. Genesis 3, there's the bad. There's the devil. He's bad. He tempts Adam and Eve. They sin. Bad. There's death. There's suffering. The ground is cursed. Everything's messed up. Everything's corrupt. Sin's been unleashed in the world. Look out. And then after that, there's the downright ugly. As in chapter 4, it gets downright ugly. Cain and Abel, the first two boys. And Cain deliberately, intentionally takes Abel out into the field and kills him. Cold-blooded murder. It's ugly. And we're left after 3-4 chapters asking the question, what in the world are we going to do about sin? Sin now has been unleashed. It is powerful. Already a murder. What do you do about sin? This is our problem, folks. Your problem's not Trump or Clinton, although they're a problem. The problem's not the economy. The real problem's not ISIS. It's not the weather. It's not your job. It's not your disease. Those are problems, I realize. The real problem is sin. And what do we do about sin? We're left pondering after we read the first few chapters. And there are three things that one can do with sin. We can try to master sin. We can cry out, Lord, have mercy when we sin. We can have faith in someone to take away sin, to take away its consequences, and to miraculously make everything good again the way it was supposed to be. Who could that possibly be? First of all, when it comes to sin, we can try to master sin. We can try to rule over sin, control sin, make myself better, reform myself, because I have the willpower in me to reform myself and make myself better. I just won't sin so much, because I'm tough and I can do it. I'll take the 7-step program, the 14-step program, I'll somehow read a book or something, and I'll find a way to conquer sin and master it. Cain is angry, he's downcast, and God knows this, God knows there's jealousy and hatred in here. And what does God say? Cain, if you do well, you'll be accepted. If you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. The command of God, master it, rule over it. Note how sin is described. Sin is not described as a little pest you shoo away from your hand. Sin is crouching at the door. Sin's pictured here as an evil, ferocious beast. An evil, ferocious beast who's crouching at the door, ready to jump. But the idea, this is important, the idea is not that sin is out there, an evil beast ready to jump on you and attack you. That's not the idea. The idea is that the ferocious beast is right in here in you. This is sin. It lies in your heart. It's the evil, evil, monstrous beast in your heart that wants to leap out into your actions that you would kill. Hatred and jealousy are the evil beast in Cain's heart. And God says, watch out, that's going to jump out and you're going to murder your brother if you don't master it. And that's what happens. Hatred in the heart is the beast that would leap out and cause us to kill, to assault, to speak badly about others. Lust is the great monster in the heart that would lead it, that wants to leap out to cause us to do adultery and sexual immorality. Greed is the monster in our heart that wants to jump out to lead us to steal and buy and buy and buy everything our greedy little heart wants. The evil in our heart wants to jump out into our actions. Master it. Well, how does Cain do? God says, you must master it, Cain. Don't let this beast out. The next verse, Cain spoke to Abel, his brother. What do you think he was saying to Abel? Let's go out to the field together, brother. Intentional, deliberate murder. And when they were in the field, he gets him away from mom and dad. Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. The evil beast got out. He couldn't master the evil beast within him. And dear friend, that's the lesson from God. You can't master it. Cain can't master it. You can't, man. You can't control it. It's the beast that will come out. You're going to have to be made good again. You're going to have to crucify that beast. You're going to have to get a new heart. You're going to have to be a new creation. And I wonder who's going to do that for you. You can't do it yourself. You know, if I were at lunchtime or you to eat a lot of onions and a lot of garlic, what's the problem? You have bad breath. Are you going to be able to keep that in where no one knows that you ate onions and garlic? Good luck. You might try and not talk and cover your breath and take mints. It's going to come out. Ooh, you stink. You got bad breath. What did you eat? You can't control it. It's going to come out. This is the beast that lies in us. Sin, powerful, uncontrollable. But secondly, when you sin, much better, we cry out for mercy. And this is the great example of the tax collector in the gospel lesson who, far off, because he's not even allowed in the temple area, he's a tax collector, who cries out, can't even look up to God, beats his breast, says, Lord, have mercy on me, the sinner, the chief of sinners. This is the great example. And Cain, in the Old Testament lesson, he kind of asks for mercy, doesn't he? He kind of repents, but not really. God says to him, what have you done? Your brother's blood cries out to me. And now when you work the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength. You shall be a fugitive, a wanderer on the earth. And then Cain says to God, my punishment is greater than I can bear. You've driven me today away from the ground, and your face shall be hidden from me. I'll be a fugitive, a wanderer, and whoever finds me will kill me. Kind of halfway repentance, halfway asking for mercy. Not really. But the point is that even with that pathetic repentance, that pathetic cry for mercy, which isn't really a cry for mercy, hardly, God still has mercy. And God puts a mark on him saying, no one's going to attack you. I'm going to show mercy to you. And the lesson is, if God would have mercy on a bloodthirsty killer, intentional, deliberate murderer, first-degree murder, God would have mercy on him. He doesn't even really repent. How much more God will have mercy on us who do repent and do cry for mercy? What does God do about sin? That's really the question. God has mercy for sin. And so we today, we follow the publican in the gospel lesson as we cry out, how many times already today, Lord, have mercy? This is the cry of the church in church. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Say it with me. Lord, have mercy. One more time. Lord, have mercy. That's the Kyrie. The Lord, have mercy. And then before communion, when we're going to come up, we sing the Agnus Dei, which is, Lamb of God, have mercy. Lamb of God, have mercy. Lamb of God, have mercy. Lamb of God, grant us peace. This is the cry of the church, the prayer of the church. What to do about sin? I just beg before my God, have mercy on me and forgive me. And God does have mercy. You're forgiven of your sins. My body, my blood for the forgiveness of your sins. God does have complete, full mercy. And God has put a mark on us. It's called the mark of our baptism, where the sign of the cross is made upon your forehead and upon your heart. That's the mark that God puts on his children. The mark of the cross, which means that we'll forever be protected by God, forever God's children. The devil can never attack us and take away our faith and take away God's love. We're going to be with God's forever. That's the mark we have, which is mercy, forever in heaven. But as we go back to Cain and Abel and poor Cain, there's still the temporal consequences for his sin. God's going to spare him vengeance on this earth, but he still has to meet God when he dies. And what happens then? He's still a fugitive. He's still a wanderer. He still has guilt for killing his brother. He's still a very lonely man. He still has a lot of temporal consequences. Things aren't good for Cain yet at all, are they? And so we are forgiven. Our sins are washed away. But when we leave, we still have the temporal consequences of our sin. We still have the disease as we leave. We still may not have a job as we leave. There's still ISIS out there killing people. There's still trouble in the world. All sorts of trouble. We still have guilt. We still have shame. We have problems. There's still all the temporal consequences. Who can make things good again? Who can take away sin completely and all its consequences and give us a new heart where we want to do good and make everything good and glorious again? Who can possibly do that? Back to the Garden of Eden in Genesis 1 and 2. Who can do that? His name is Jesus. And so God would send his Son to make it all good again. That's the work of Jesus. Sin is the beast crouching, wanting to jump out of you. It's interesting that at the end of Genesis, Jesus himself is called the Lion of Judah, the great beast who's lying, crouching. Christ is the real beast. He is the Lion of Judah who's lies down at the cross. He's crouched at the cross. He's ready to pounce. He looks like he's weak. But then the resurrection, Easter, he pounces on sin and conquers it. Pounces on the devil, conquers it. Pounces on death. He is the great beast, the beast who fights for us, giving us the victory over sin, death, and hell. Abel's death cries for vengeance. Jesus' death cries victory. All is made good and right again. So on this earth, we no longer are simply wanderers, but we worship this day as God's very children, his family. We are not fugitives. We are the children of God, forgiven of our sins. Even though we have fear, like Cain, we're forgiven, and we have faith given by the Holy Spirit. Even though we die, we live. Even though we may feel lonely, we are loved by God, part of his heavenly family. If God is for me, who can be against me? And even though I still have sin and that beast in my heart, yet in baptism that beast has been crucified. And I have the Holy Spirit in my heart. He's made me a new creation. And now by his power, I can bear good fruit for the Lord. And not kill my brother, but bless my brother and help my brother and be my brother's keeper. Yes, in Christ, all things are being made good again, the way it's supposed to be. So come and receive that Christ. We went to the Creation Museum yesterday up in the Cincinnati area, and we had about 5 drivers go up there. And as we left the parking lot here, I said, we're going to meet at exit 129 north of Lexington for McDonald's lunch for the kids and the adults. What was that exit, congregation? 129. Well, one of our drivers, to be unnamed today, is that okay, Ron? To be unnamed today, who thought I said 179, so he went past the exit. Now, he's a good example here in a moment. Went past the exit, so I call and say, where are you? And he's like 156, 27 miles further north. But guess what the dear man does? He went 27 miles too far. Now he comes back 27 miles to go to our McDonald's and gets McDonald's in a bag, and we all leave together. So I said to Ron, you went 54 miles out of your way for McDonald's. You're my hero, buddy. And I said to him, if you would go 54 miles for McDonald's, will the people of God go 5 miles or 10 miles for God's mercy? Here, to come to receive the words of mercy. Will we go 54 miles out of our way for this? To receive the meal of mercy? To receive the forgiveness of sins? To be with Jesus? To be in the temple with Jesus? And not far off like the publican, that we can come right near because of Jesus. Come and receive the forgiveness, the mercy, word, sacrament, the power of the Holy Spirit. What to do about sin? We're not going to master it. But we do cry for mercy. And we do put our faith in Jesus, who's made everything good again. Life's not so bad and ugly, friend. In Christ, life is good.
It's very good. One day, it'll be glorious. Amen. We rise. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.